Church, this morning we're going to be reading from John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. It is a long passage, so if you cannot stand, that's okay. But otherwise, I think we need to wake up just a little bit this morning. So would you stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's Word? So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Now the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak of the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do things which you have heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to him, to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born as a result of sexual immorality. We have one father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came forth from God and am here. For I have not even come on my own, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I say the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? The one who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God." The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and you have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon. On the contrary, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I am not seeking my glory. There is one who seeks it and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone follows my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets as well, and yet you say, if anyone follows my word, he will never taste of death. You are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, are you? The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I follow his word. Your father Abraham was overjoyed that he would see my day, and he saw it and rejoiced." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and left the temple grounds. And all God's people said, "You may be seated." Quite a lot in that text, isn't there? As we come to study this, I can't help but think it's one of the more difficult passages. Not difficult to understand, but we think of Jesus, we like the cute version of Jesus. And he says some harsh things in this passage. And he speaks the truth, and truth isn't always something we want to hear, but he speaks a very hard truth in this text. And we're going to study that this morning. But I want to remind you where we're at, because we've had a few weeks out. I was gone a week, and then last week I spoke on something else. We were out of John. And so it's been a few weeks, and we've already been in John chapter 8 for 2 weeks. And so I want to kind of remind you of what we have studied up to this point. So if you think back, Jesus secretly went up to the Feast of Booths. Remember his brothers who didn't yet believe in him, they wanted a triumphal entry. all right, Jesus, if you're really the Messiah, let's get this over with. Let's go into town. We'll settle this once and for all. But he went in secret, and we heard people debating, is he a good man? Is he the Christ? Is he not? Is he evil? Should we get rid of him? All the debates are happening. And then we saw it was the Feast of Booths, and so every day they were getting water and taking it from the pool of Siloam where Jesus had healed the man and taking it to perform the ritual sacrifices, and they were worshiping throughout that week. And on the last day, Jesus gets up there after he's been teaching, hey, if you would believe in me, you'll have springs of life flowing out of you. And he's taught these things, and he gets up on the last day when they go to the sacrifice, and the temple is lit up by a menorah, and all the people are there to worship at night, and he says, I am the light of the world. And the whole time, they're remembering their deliverance out of Egypt, and he's saying, I am here to deliver you. I am here to rescue you. This is the Christ. It is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And all the people see this, and there's a lot of debate, and there's a lot of arguing. And then we had a week where we went, and in the middle of this, we had the woman caught in adultery. And they're upset, and they want to trap Jesus, and so they bring this lady who's been caught in the act of adultery. But remember, we said they didn't bring the man. You know, they caught him, but they didn't bring him. And so they don't care really about the woman at all. They're here to trap Jesus. And they said, Moses said, in the law of Moses, it says that she should be punished by death. What do you say, Jesus? And you guys remember what he did? Something strange. He started writing in the sands. And we don't know exactly what he wrote. I tend to think with some others that maybe he was writing out those Ten Commandments. And he finally asked them the question, or said to them, he who is without sin cast the first stone. You remember what happened? Starting with the oldest, those who had lived the most life and had the most experience, they walked away first. Then one by one, they all walked away, and nobody condemned that woman. Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. But go and sin no more. And he's calling this lady, and he's offering her something better. He's offering her life. And he's not going to find it the way of sin. He's not excusing her sin. But he's offering her something better because he's the better sacrifice. More important than what they were doing during the Feast of Booths. He is God's deliverance for sinners. And we saw all that. And so this chapter, we pick it up today. If you just want to flip with me, we're going to go through some of this really quickly. I'm back in verse 12. And Jesus said after the account of the adulterous woman, he says, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then they begin to accuse him, saying, well, you can't testify about yourself. He's like, I don't testify about myself. The Father's testified about me, but I'm also telling the truth. And even if I wasn't testifying about myself, it's still true because I am from the Father. And so he keeps coming back to them, and they just keep arguing with him. But I want you to see where he says something really important in verse 19. Let me go back. I turned one page too far. He looks at these Pharisees that are arguing with him, and he says, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. Now, they're going to begin to argue that, well, we do know the Father. We're the Pharisees. We're Israelites. We are Abraham's children. We've got the law of Moses. Who's keeping the law here? Who's keeping the temple running? Who's performing the sacrifices? That's us, Jesus. But he tells them, you don't know me. You don't know the Father. Because if you knew the Father, you would know who I am. And so he begins to walk them through those things. And it's not a surprise. It's not a surprise to us that Jesus' own people, those who he went to first, would reject him. We know it because we've read the scriptures. But also, I taught a sermon on this when we first started in John, back in 1 John chapter 1. I'm just going to read verses 10 through 13. So John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. It told us this was coming. It said this, he was in the world, and the world came into being through him, and yet the world did not know him. So all the world came into being through who? Through Jesus. But the world didn't recognize him. And then it said he came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. Right? The Messiah comes, they're supposed to be looking for him, and many of them will not accept him. But then it said in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, he says that he is the light of the world. He's come, and he is offering for everyone the gospel call is going forth, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles alike. And he's saying, anyone who believes in him has the right to become what? Children of God. And so we're not shocked when he looks at someone that is rejecting him and saying, we don't believe in you, and in fact, we want to kill you. It's no surprise that he says, you don't know me. You're not mine. And so that's where we find ourselves in John's gospel. And then you get back in chapter 8, you get down to verses 21 through 30. He tells them, I'm going away. Right? I'm going to go away, and you guys can't come with me. Well, where is he going? That's what they're asking there, right? They're going, well, where's he going that we can't follow? Right? He's already been around Galilee. Well, we can follow him around Galilee. Well, where's he going to go? And we know he's talking about his death and resurrection that's coming, his ascension, right? All those things are coming, and he knows there is a time where we will not be able to follow him, and his disciples won't be able to follow him, and certainly these Pharisees won't be able to follow him. And so they even get into the same things like they're confused, and so they go, well, maybe Jesus is going to kill himself. They know he's got to be talking about something different, and they actually ask in the text, well, surely he's not going to kill himself, right? And they're confused. And so I want you to look at one more verse before we move on. He's explaining this in the text. Look at verse 28. He says, So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and I do nothing on my own, but I say these things as the Father instructed me. Do you hear what he said? There's a time coming, and he's telling them all, everybody there, when you lift up the Son of Man, what? When you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am. There's a moment coming where they're going to know who he is. When it says, I am there, what does he mean? Talking about the great I am. This is Yahweh. This is the personal name of God revealed in the Old Testament. When God reveals himself to Moses, when he comes to Moses and says, I am that I am. This is who I am. Because Moses asked, well, when I go to Egypt, they're going to ask what your name is. Who do I tell them sent me? The I am that I am. Jesus says, when you lift me up, you will know that I am. And by lifting up, they're referring, I believe, to the cross, right? Because he's already referred to that in John's gospel. He's going to refer to it again and get explicit about it later. They're going to lift him up on that cross. He's going to be nailed to that cross. And some of them are going to realize that was the Son of God. That really is God in the flesh. He is the Messiah. And so many of them will believe in time. But at this point, many of them, of course, do not. Now, that gets us into our text for the day. But notice at the end, in verse 30, many in the crowd came to believe in him. All right, so when we start talking in a minute, he says some things that are hard. And he says, hey, you're of your father, the devil. He does not mean all Jews. All right, you guys hear me? He is not saying that all Jews reject him and are not his children. He's talking to specific people in this passage. So do not think that God has entirely rejected his people, because he is not. All right, so I want you to see that. Second of all, notice that some of them, many in the crowd, would believe in Jesus. Right? They're going to believe and they're going to be saved. And so that is good news. The Apostle Paul, Jewish, right? Most of them, or all of them at the time, Jewish. So even though Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles, he always goes first to the lost people of Israel, right? He goes to those that should have been expecting and waiting on him, who have the promises of Moses and the promises and the covenants of Abraham. He goes to them first. So let's walk through this. He tells in verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And here's what he means. He doesn't mean if you're the most faithful guy ever and you do all the sacrifices and you get everything right, you will be free. What he's saying is, if you continue in my word, if you continue and you continue to believe in me as God, as your Messiah, as your Savior, you will be saved. That's the promise he's been making through this whole time. And so he says, if you continue in my word, don't let go of it. Don't let these guys convince you that I am rotten and that I am just somebody here to sabotage your faith. Do not abandon this. You need to hold on to your faith in me. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they go, well, they look at him in verse 33, and they answer, yeah, but we're Abraham's descendants. Right? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? All right, I got some questions. You probably do too. You guys read the Old Testament? Are God's people ever enslaved? At least 400 years in Egypt, right? So I'm kind of like, well, what are they talking about? And then we have the northern kingdom gets destroyed and they get carried off. And then the southern kingdom gets destroyed and you have a Babylonian captivity. And I'm thinking, well, if you're just thinking in terms of physical slavery, well, they're wrong already. But second of all, even at the time of Jesus, who was really ruling Jerusalem? It was the Romans, right? They still didn't really govern themselves. Yeah, they had king and they had some self-rule kind of things, but at the end of the day, they were under the thumb of Rome. So when they're talking about we have never been enslaved, I don't think they're talking about physical enslavement. They understand there's something deeper, a spiritual meaning to this. And they understand he's talking about sin and life. Remember the Pharisees? You know what they believed in that the Sadducees didn't? A resurrection. They believed that there was some sort of life after death, that there would be a resurrection. And so I think they begin to question some of these things, and they go, well, what is he talking about? How is it that you can say we've become free? In other words, we're not like the pagans. We're not worshiping the false gods. We worship the true God. We've got the sacrifices. We've got the temple. In their mind, they're righteous. They're in good standing with God. And then he looks at them in verse 34, and he says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. How many of you have ever committed a sin? All of us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And remember, with the adulterous woman, when he says, the one without sin cast the first stone, how many of them picked up the stones? None of them picked up the stones, right? They walked away. None of them threw the stone. There you go. And they walked away from it because they knew they were sinners. And here's Jesus saying, if you're a sinner, you're a slave to sin. That's it. There is no righteousness found if you're a sinner. You need a Savior. And they're going to argue with him, of course. But he goes on and says, well, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain. So if the son sets you free, you will really be free. You need to be set free by Jesus from guilt of sin and death. So there's a lot there that we could cover. But then I want you to continue on. He says in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's descendants, yet you are seeking to kill me because my word has no place in you. You know how hard of a statement that is? So you're Abraham's physical descendants. You are in his lineage. You have the law. You've got that fancy temple up on the hill. My word has no place in you. That's not good. And we find that they are condemned. They are that they are outside of God's people. And we're going to keep talking about that in a minute, so don't lose that train of thought. But he says, look, I speak to the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do things which you have heard from your father. And they answered and came back and said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. What is Abraham known for in the Bible? Faith. Abraham believed and trusted in what God said. God gave him a command and a promise, and he said, okay, and he did it. He trusted it. He had doubts. Was Abraham a perfect person? No, he was a sinful man, right? And every time we talk about him, I go back to the fact that he tried to give his wife away twice, right? That woman was a saint because she kept going back to him. I don't know. But the point is, he wasn't perfect. He was a sinful man. But he trusted and believed in God and the promises that God had made. And God told him, look, I'm going to take your family and I'm going to make out of your family a great nation. And I'm going to use that family to bless all the families of the earth. And Abraham lived his life expecting God to do that. He had some doubts. He had some moments of struggle. But in the end, he is commended for his faith. Now, the culmination of all those promises has come. Now, through Abraham's seed, someone's come who's been born from the seed of David. It's Jesse's great-great-grandson. He's here. He's been born in Bethlehem. He's going to come. He's going to reestablish the kingdom in many ways. He's going to bless all the peoples of the earth. When Jesus comes, salvation isn't just for the Jews, is it? It is for all people. It is made known to everyone. So all the culmination of all those promises to Abraham are fulfilled in Christ. And yet, they're trying to kill him. They're trying to kill him. And he says, listen, and he tells them, look, Abraham didn't do this. You're doing the deeds of your father. And they should have known that was loaded, right? He said, you're doing the deeds of your father. And they're like, now wait a second. We're not born as a result of sexual immorality. You know what they were actually saying? Jesus, we heard about you. Up there in Nazareth. Joseph wasn't your dad. That's a dig at Jesus when they say that. They're coming at him. And they say, I can't say those words out in public, but you are an illegitimate son. And he looks at him and he says, and they say, we have one father. And that's God. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here, for I have not even come on my own, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. So look at this. He's saying, you are of your father, the devil. Why? He's a murderer. What are you trying to do? You're trying to murder me. He's a liar and cannot stand for the truth. Well, guess what? You don't believe the truth, and it's right in front of you. It's being announced to you by me, the fulfillment of all of the promises of your father, Abraham. All the promises made to him are carried out in me, but you cannot hear them because you are of your father, the devil. That's a strong word, isn't it? As we walk through this, he points out again that Satan was a murderer, a liar. You're doing all the things that he did. You do not believe the truth. Well, I want to tell you this morning. Do you guys know that being a physical descendant of Abraham does not mean that you are a child of God? Jesus here rejects that belief. And he tells them, you're of your father, the devil. And that's a strong word. Now, he says, the one who hears, the one who is of God, hears the words of God. And for this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. He's telling you don't belong to him. You belong to Satan. And I think that's perhaps some of the strongest words of condemnation I find in all the Bible. You read through that, and it is a hard thing to reconcile, a hard thing to hear, because we live in a world which we want to say all people are children of God. And guys, we are all his creatures, but we are not all his children. And that is an important distinction that we need to make this morning. You do not hear because you do not belong to him. Now, I want you to think, I got to wind this down because we got the Lord's Supper in a minute. But we got a lot. I might have to come back to some of this next week. But I want you to think through this. You get to Revelation. You know, you have the mark of the beast, and we ought to talk about the mark of the beast. It is a seal, a mark of ownership to say you belong to him. But you know that there's also in Revelation, there's the seal placed on the foreheads of God's people that says you belong to him. That you are either of God the Father, or you are of your father, the devil. There's no intermediate ground. There's no intermediate. There's nowhere else to go. You're either of God or you are not of God. You belong to God or you don't belong to God. And as you read through this text, there's a lot of hard things that we could say. I want to mention a few. First of all, this idea that there were some Israelites who were not of God, that's been out throughout the whole Old Testament. Right? You had some that were unfaithful and they were destroyed, but God always saved a remnant. There was always a portion of them. He said, those are mine, and he preserved them. He gave them faith. He worked in them. He made sure his promises held. Okay, he's going to fulfill what he did. But I want to read you just a couple of verses here. The first one is about Abraham. This is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. It says, just as Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Therefore, recognize that it was those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. Right? So, a Jewish person with no faith is not counted as a son of Abraham in Galatians. That's what it says. And so we want to be careful. We don't want to extend that to all Jews, but for those that disbelieve, who say we will not believe in Jesus, then it says that they are not counted, according to that, as sons of Abraham. Then it says in verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer. That we are grafted into Israel. That we are brought in and counted as God's people, not by our physical parentage, not by our ancestors, but by what? By faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our belief in what God has done. And then he tells them in Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. Do you hear that? For those that believe, he says, listen, the Spirit comes in and he changes our heart and we cry out, Father. Just as he said, listen, a slave doesn't remain in the house. If you are a sinner, you are a slave to sin. But he says in Galatians, I have set you free. You're no longer a slave. You are a son or a daughter. You've been set free by Jesus. And then Romans chapter 9, verses 6 through 8 says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. Listen to this. For they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel, nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be named. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise who are regarded as descendants. Now we're focusing this morning a little bit on those who were told, you are not of God. But remember, in that crowd, there were many, many more who were of God, who were children of the promise, who that day saw Jesus, heard the gospel message where Jesus is saying over and over in John's gospel, believe in me, you have everlasting life. Many of them are believing and being saved. God is fulfilling the promises he made to Abraham in spite of what these leaders are doing in rejecting him. Now, that doesn't surprise us in some other places. When we get to John later on, we get to John chapter 10, we have Jesus talking about being the good shepherd, right? And he's talking about he is the good shepherd and sheep. And they ask him there in John chapter 10, verse 24, they say, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I told you, but you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. These testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, I have a lot of questions as I read this text. Right? You guys probably have a lot of questions. Am I of God? Am I not of God? Well, how do we know? Do you believe in Christ? The gospel message we extend to all people. There's some, and we could get into predestination conversations out of this. We get in all kinds of things. But here's what I do know. Jesus is offering the message, and many of them believed, and some did not. And all we can do is come and say, Jesus Christ has died on that cross for you. Come and be saved. And guys, we want to persuade men. We want to do all that we can. There are some that will not hear. And they are guilty. Are these men here? Are they not guilty for their sin? They're trying to kill Jesus. They're choosing to try to kill Jesus. And they're guilty, and they're going to die in their sins. And he keeps telling them that. If you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins. There is no hope if you're outside of Jesus Christ. And so he keeps coming back to that. And so I want to close this morning. Some of you are hearing this, and you're like, well, how in the world do I know? Am I a child of God? Am I one of his sheep? Well, how do you know? It's by faith. Do you trust in Jesus Christ to save you? Well, if you do, you are his. So let me say it like this. There will never be, ever, a person that says, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died on that cross for me. And I want to be saved. I want to be your people. And Jesus says, nah, you're not one of my sheep. That will never happen. Because he is behind it all. And he is at work. And he is saving people. I once was blind, but now I see. I was dead, and he made me alive. We're going to pray, and we're going to sing one more song. I will ask if the deacons could come down during the song so that we can get moving here. I know we are running behind, but let's stop, and we want to celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. Celebrate his death and remember his death and his resurrection, and that we are saved because we believe what those men did not, but what many in the crowd did, where he told them over and over, if you would believe, you'd have eternal life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the Gospel of John. I thank you so much for the examples that we find in the text, Lord, that for any who believe, they will be saved. And Father, I don't know how all the mechanics work, how everything works behind the scenes and with your providence and the free will of man and all those things, but Lord, you know exactly how it works. And you have told us to extend the gospel to all people. And Lord, that Christ is sufficient for all people. And so, Lord, I pray that there is anyone here this morning that is struggling with sin, that knows they need forgiveness, that today would be the day of salvation for them, that today they would come and celebrate and give their life to Jesus.